listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's preview the championship games. And coming up this Sunday on CBS, you could watch that heavyweight showdown between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs. And Arrowhead and Evan Washburn of CBS Sports will be on the sideline. Evan, great to have you on. Good to see you in Philly the other night. How you been?
Yeah, Zach, that was fun. Not much of a game, but good to catch up in the cafeteria there.
So let's start off in the AFC. The Bengals, they should be confident. That's what makes them such a good team. I'm just starting to wonder, with all the tweeting Eli Apple's doing, I saw Mike Hilton after the big victory against the Bills called Arrowhead, Burrowhead. Is the confidence at all a little bit too concerning, or is this just who they are?
No, I think it's who they are, and I think they kind of feed off of it. At this point, they've got to create some sense of doubt or tension against them, because I think it's starting to flip. I think after what happened on Sunday, the underdog thing has been kind of put to bed, and now one way to maybe get those of us on the outside to doubt them again would be to say that they're overconfident. So I don't know. It's all, at this point, week 20, mind games and whatever you need to do to get yourself to a place where you're bringing it on Sunday evening, I guess is just part of the sauce. But they seem to embrace it, enjoy it, and thrive in it.
I know it's early in the week, but what are you hearing about the Mahomes ankle? Andy Reid said he's going to play, but the question, I guess, becomes similarly to the Jalen Hurts shoulder, how effective will he be able to be?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the beauty of it, and it's a tough term to use because it is a pretty gruesome injury and one that I'm sure is going to be incredibly uncomfortable throughout the week and even on Sunday, is that unlike the shoulder for Hurts, Mahomes has proven, as he did in the second half, that he can make plays kind of stuck in the pocket and relying on his arm, quick release, and not so much being the scrambler to throw. It's a big part of his game, and if he can't do it, it's definitely unfortunate for the Chiefs and Mahomes. But again, I think he's proven he's so versatile that he can win in a lot of ways, and since it's not his throwing shoulder or arm, that he'll still have that bazooka. And I thought that Andy Reid brought up a good point, and I was actually there in 2019. He suffered a pretty bad ankle injury in Jacksonville in week one, and then he came back pretty much in the next few weeks and just lit it up. So, look, this dude seems to be built different. It's going to be a storyline all week and on Sunday, but I don't expect it to limit just his ability to impact the game.
My biggest concern is if this game becomes a shootout, and hey, it's like stupid, Evan Washburn, to doubt Mahomes, but you just wonder if he's going to be able to match Burrow. We all know Mahomes is considered to be the best quarterback, but if that ankle is not where it needs to be and they have to require to move around and really keep up in a track meet type of game, I just wonder how Mahomes will respond.
I agree. And again, if he can't get outside the pocket and make some of the plays with his legs, picking up first downs or extending plays so that he can get those deep shots downfield. But also, I think it's worth noting that they're a bit different. They're built different this year without Tyreek Hill. So the downfield passing game, even when Mahomes has been healthy, hasn't been something that they lean on or count on as much. And they've proven to be able to go back and forth with teams by managing and matriculating the ball down the field and getting, let's say, 8 to 12 yard chunks with guys like Kelce or Juju, as opposed to those, hey, I'm going to hold on to the ball behind this line of scrimmage for 5 seconds and then get Tyreek busting down the field for 40.
So Lou Anarumo has done a remarkable job with this Bengals defense, and not many people make Mahomes look human or are able to go out there and clearly beat them three straight times, but Cincinnati has done it. When you go back and rethink about those games, rewatch those games, what has Cincinnati really been able to perfect, especially in those second halves up against the Chiefs?
I think, and then talking to Lou about it over the course of the last couple of years, he just really leans on the intellectual capacity of his players when it comes to their ability to diagnose what's happening early in the game. Okay, this is what the opponent, in this case Kansas City, wants to do. All right, what should we do to combat it? And we talk about adjustments a lot, and I know that's a word that some people find triggering, that, hey, teams don't really make adjustments, or they don't do halftime adjustments. They do it in-game. One thing I do know is that defensively it's hard to change on the fly and to make tweaks, whatever term you want to use, on the fly that can really impact an offense, especially one as lethal as Kansas City. But he feels like he has that and proven to have that, and he has it on all three levels. I mean, you got an all-pro snub in DJ Reader up front. You got Logan Wilson in the middle who can make plays against the run and the pass, and then you got Jesse Bates and Von Bell in the back end. They've been a bit thin at corner with the injury to Chidobe Awuzie, but the rookie Cam Taylor-Britt stepping up, and I just think Lou has proven with his guys that they can manage a game and manage the swings, and then in the most critical moments really frustrate offense.
You look at the Chiefs, and I look at the way that they're going to be perceived going into this game, Evan Washburn. I know that they've seen almost everything. They've been down big in the fourth quarter. They've been down big in the first half in these playoff games. They always seem to prevail. This Cincinnati team has given them clearly the last 2 years the most trouble. Is there a mental kind of block for this team in Kansas City when they go up against the Bengals that they have to find a way to break down, or are they just not going to be mentally rattled by going up against the Bengals?
I go back and forth on this stuff, Zach, and especially with a team like Kansas City and just how experienced they are in these moments. I mean, the idea that this is their fifth straight AFC title game at home is bonkers. So I think they are irritated, frustrated about the fact that they have lost the last three to Cincinnati, but I don't by any means think that that's something that's going to weigh on their minds as they try to get sleep the night before the game, or as they take the field thinking, oh man, we can't do this. This is not a situation, as I would see it, going back to kind of those New England years where you would hear teams say when they walked into Foxborough, they'd lose to the Banners before they even took the field. I don't get that from Kansas City when it comes to Cincinnati. I think they have a ton of respect for them, and they know what they're going to, you know, find themselves getting into over the course of 3 hours on Sunday. But I don't think of it as a hurdle they have to jump before they even take the field.
Is there more pressure headed into this game on the Bengals or the Chiefs?
I would say it's still the Chiefs. I think Cincinnati is proven that they are a team that is going to be here year in and year out as long as Burrow's there and as long as they've got the nucleus, obviously, offensively with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and then the defense we mentioned. But I think when Kansas City won it in 2019, and then going back to what I just said about the five straight, people had them kind of pegged as the next dynasty, as the next Patriots, if you will, which I think is ridiculous because I just don't think we're going to see that. But just getting to this point, and if they drop another one to Cincy, then it's like, okay, what do we got going on here? Because, you know, the 10-win seasons are great, and it's an incredible duo of Andy Reid and Mahomes. But if you don't start hanging a couple more banners, then I do think that it becomes a different description of what you are as a team and in this era, if you will.
If Burrow wins this game on Sunday, the AFC title game, and takes down Mahomes for the fourth straight time, will you call him the best quarterback in the league?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big believer in these teams, and I know this is frustrating probably, especially in the sports talk radio world. I don't think wins are quarterback stats. I really, the more and more I do this and the more I'm around it, I just realize how much it is an incredibly team-oriented result. And look, I think Burrow has as much an impact on their ability to win or lose games, but we talked about Lou Anarumo and this defense. I think what they did to Buffalo on Sunday afternoon equal to what Burrow did against Buffalo on Sunday afternoon, what that line did. So I'm not going to take a result either way and say that that puts a quarterback over another. I think Burrow, in my mind, whether he wins or loses on Sunday, solidified himself as a top five quarterback or in the AFC right there with Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. And I kind of view it as maybe season to season. I think Mahomes has had the best season at the quarterback position in 2022, and Burrow may be off to a faster start to 2023, if that makes sense.
Evan Washburn here with us. So where does Buffalo go from here? I was talking about it yesterday. I said they have to get more physical in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and they have to start taking a little bit of the food off the plate of Josh Allen and get him a legit bona fide running back.
I think that's fair. I think there's aspects to the defense, too, that, and this isn't necessarily something that's going to be off-season, or I shouldn't say that, depending on what happens with Micah Hyde. I know he was making his way back from the neck injury, but they were really depleted there. And it was a unique defense in the sense that it's that bend that don't break. And I thought that they became thin at the worst possible time, whether it was the Vaughn injury, Micah Hyde, where they went in the secondary. Obviously, DeMar Hamlin's part of that as well. It just became too much to overcome defensively. And then to your point, I think it's a valuable one. I wouldn't ever expect to see Buffalo become a run first type operation.
Yeah.
I do think it needs to be part of it. And I know that's been kind of a constant back and forth because Sean McDermott's been clear at times that he wants to be able to lean on the run game. I think Cincinnati's a good example of it this year because let's be real, you know, Mixon has not been as effective or as relied upon over the course of the 17-game regular season. He dealt with obvious concussion, but they have him there. And when they needed him most, he did step up. So I think that's the kind of layer of a run game that could really be valuable to Buffalo moving forward. But I just think that if you look at it in a vacuum, like Sunday was rough for Buffalo, Zach, by all accounts. They just were, you know, out physical, out tough, whatever you want to say. But I look at the last 3 years, well, it's disappointment because they have made a Super Bowl. I still look at it as what happened in the divisional round last year was once in a lifetime, the 13 seconds against Kansas City. And then even going back the year before in the AFC title game, I mean, they're right there. So I don't look at this as like, hey, we need to knock this thing back down to the studs and kind of rebuild who we are.
What about Dallas? Where do they go from here? They're paying Dak, we know, a ton of money, but he keeps on just being a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. And the unfortunate part for them, he was not good in a game where he only needed to be good to probably go get that victory against the Niners on Sunday.
Look, Dak's your quarterback. You're paying him to be your quarterback. I think I'm a big believer, Zach, in setting proper expectations. Money doesn't dictate. Your salary as quarterback doesn't dictate what you have as a fan. When it comes to, as we throwing around top five for a guy like Burrow, just because you're getting paid in that group doesn't mean that's who you are. But it also doesn't mean, hey, let's just cut bait unless you have a clear exit strategy.
Yeah.
And I always go back to Kansas City and how they got into this Mahomes situation. They had Alex Smith there for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, a good stretch, and they paid him well and he was effective. They got the playoffs, but there was a limitation. That's not to say in a perfect scenario he doesn't make a run, a Joe Flacco type situation. But if you kind of frame your expectation that way, and if you're Dallas or you're a Dallas fan and you think, okay, we got Dak now, you know, what are we doing? What are we moving forward with? When do we look towards the draft to maybe make a move for a quarterback? Or do we – because, I mean, I think contractually they're kind of bound to him for a little while here. So – I just think it's you want to make this clean move or this clean break, but it just doesn't work that way. So kind of live in your situation as best you can and then hope that when the time's ready, that's when you're ready to pounce on the opportunity at that position.
What does your gut tell you on Rodgers? Is he back in Green Bay next year or is he going to get traded to one of these AFC teams?
I don't know, man. I that's a tough business to live in. I try and consume as much Rodgers content as possible because I do find
you can't miss it. It's all over the place. It never ends. It's insufferable.
Yeah, look, man, I don't want to be a hypocrite because we ask these players and coaches to be honest and open, and then I try not to be critical of them when maybe whatever they're saying doesn't really fit at times. But look, I think it's feeling like he's building a situation with the way he's describing things where if he were to leave, you know, the crumbs were laid. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Brady situation in New England when people were following when he was selling his house or when he was doing this or who was moving where. And those are things where hindsight, you're like, oh, we should have known he was doing that. But in the moment, you're not ready to make that plunge. Look, I think it'd be fun because I root for the dramatics of it. If he did make a switch, if he got traded to maybe a team out east or something, you throw him in the mix there and in the AFC East, you throw him to the Jets or something like that. I mean, let's get crazy, Zach. Let's have fun. You're right there in New York. You'd enjoy it.
Yeah, that would be something. Rodgers against the New York media would be must-watch each and every week. And then the recaps on McAfee would be great. I know you got to run, Evan Washburn, so last thing I'll ask you, NFC title game, what do you think decides it between San Francisco and the Eagles?
Wow. Hey, man, we were there together in Philly. That place was a
bonkers
vibe on Saturday night. Strong vibes. I know the Brock Purdy thing's been unbelievable, and it's been cool to watch. I love San Francisco. That defense is unreal. I just like Philly in this one because of that home field. Felt like they just were, you're cooking with gas on Saturday night, and you throw a rookie quarterback into that scene. I don't know. It feels like at some point the moment's got to stun them a little bit, but I think it's going to be a phenomenal game. And like all the conversation about San Francisco's defense is warranted, but as we saw with our own two eyes there in Philly, the Eagles' defense is no joke, and they're going to make Purdy's life, I think, living you-know-what over the course of four quarters.
Well, enjoy the game coming up on Sunday. Kick ass on the sidelines. You know, could we send you maybe a Zach Gelb Show beanie if we get that made to get the pub on CBS?
Beanie's going to be tough, man. You don't cover the lettuce, even 20
degree weather.
You do
have elite hair. Yeah, that is true.
So, I don't know. Maybe we could come up with like a trying to think like a pin or something. I mean, we're big on pins over the course of the season.
I thought you were going to say boxers so no one could see them.
I was running low on ideas when it came to visuals.
Well, Evan, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, man. See ya.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.